Welcome to Financial Strides, powered by Woodley Faramanian Portfolio Management. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Emily. Join us for financial conversations that fit your life. Practical, simple, personally paced.
Follow us this way to financial contentment. Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Financial Strides, where we're working on building a sustainable budget.
Hey there, Kim. You ready to talk budgets today?
I think so, Emily. I mean, I just said that like so off the cuff, like, hey, we're working on building a sustainable budget. Like, it's not the big dun 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 cornerstone of really any type of financial plan for anybody. And honestly, a pretty painful process. So hope that everybody just kind of hangs out with us here for the next few minutes as we walk through trying to make it easy and attainable and not so scary. Because sitting down and looking at what you spend your money on every month is frankly pretty gross sometimes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you're out there and you don't have a budget, I think you should ask yourself why you don't. Is it because you're scared of what you're spending?
Right.
Is it because you're scared?
Have you pulled the covers up on your budget?
Yeah. Definitely zipped up the hood. Is it because you think that looking at those numbers is going to force you to give up things you really enjoy, perhaps?
Right. Which there's always a little bit of that, little bit of pain points.
Mm-hmm. So what are the common pain points, Kim, and how do we overcome that? Because we to start our journey, we've got to have a budget, right? We're putting our foot down on that.
Right. I mean, you have to know what's coming in to know how to allocate it.
Gotcha.
I mean, just bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And the first pain point we've already kind of talked about, it's looking at what you're spending, or more scary, looking at what you might be wasting your money on every month. And that in and of itself can seem overwhelming, I think, especially in this day and age of pretty much everything being cashless. It's so easy to swipe a card, hold your phone up, send somebody a Venmo, and then before you know it, all that money is just out the door, out the door, out the door. So that's a big pain point. Just sitting down and seeing all those transactions can be kind of overwhelming. It's time consuming, you know, to start out with the budget, because you do have to gather multiple pieces of information, look through account statements, things like that, in order for it to be accurate.
It is a very adult thing to do.
Yes, it is. And it can be a little frustrating, I think, too, because when you're trying to assign things within your budget, as we'll talk later, you know, about the needs, the wants, and the savings, there's a lot that bleeds over from the need and the want. And it can be frustrating sometimes to recognize that you need to kind of cut yourself off from a few of the wants so you can push some funds to that savings and some of the things that you're going to naturally want to put in your need bucket, like Starbucks. And
my fancy shoes
and pretty nails really, in fact, do not meet the definition of a need.
But is it a waste if it gives me joy? This
also,
is what we need to figure
also
out.
Also, something that should not be pushed off as something that should not be considered, because I think a budget is kind of like a financial diet, where the more restrictive you make it, the bigger you're going to blow it.
Yeah.
It's just naturally going to happen, because every time you deny, 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 you're going to end up going out on the weekend and totally splurging on big dessert or drinks or whatever. And just like that with a budget, you're going to find yourself with a cruise booked on your credit card.
Sure.
A purse you can't afford, or something along those lines. And if you manage a budget appropriately, put money in that savings bucket for those extra splurge things, you can still feel like you're kind of working towards them, but it doesn't completely blow everything out of the water.
Well, anything that you want to be successful in long term has to be sustainable, right?
Correct.
So don't set yourself up for failure by making it so your goal is so hard to attain that you give up or you make yourself miserable.
Well, and I think the other part of that is being realistic with yourself and your expectations and how quickly you can move through those different phases of budget. If you're looking to dedicate, let's say, money to savings every month, where historically you haven't, give yourself some time to get to that place and to recognize that it's not going to happen overnight, that you're going to have an extra $1,000 at the end of the month.
In making your budget, you need to be honest with yourself.
Honest and realistic. And I think when you set that as your initial thought process, then it also gives yourself a little bit of grace to know that, hey, I'm throwing it out there. I'm being honest. I'm trying to be realistic, but I'm not going to turn this situation around in a month.
Okay.
It's a process.
So what if I feel like I don't make enough money to budget?
Well, that's also kind of along the same lines of people who feel like they make too much money to budget.
Oh, you know what? I never even thought about that, honestly.
And I think that's like two sides of the spectrum there.
Yeah.
Where people who are hesitant for a budget are like, oh, I don't make enough money. And then people that make a really good wage, they don't feel like they need a budget because it's like, oh, well, I'm essentially never going to run out. So the goals for each individual on opposite sides of those spectrums are different, where if you feel like you don't make enough, then do you need to put a budget together because maybe you need to cut some costs? Or do you need to look for extra ways to bring some more income in? If you feel like you have this endless supply of money, one, I want to make sure that I'm as close to you as possible in any situation so that I can siphon off of your endless supply of money.
Right.
But also, you need to look at, am I allowing my money to work for me the way that it should? Or am I going to be somebody who's a high earner, who is also a very high spender? And when I'm ready to stop working, I don't have anything saved, or I don't have enough saved to sustain myself in the lifestyle that I want to continue to be in.
Right, and that you've set yourself to be accustomed to.
Right. And no one is trying to get a part-time job at the paint counter at Lowe's when they're ready to retire.
I mean, unless you enjoy that kind of thing, I suppose. But
right.
I'd rather be.
Right. I'd rather be on the
gardening
beach.
Or yeah, on the beach, not working.
And frankly, serving the public in a much better role, not being at the paint counter of Lowe's or really anywhere at Lowe's. Period. Right. And not a handy person.
Sorry, we have nothing against Lowe's. I want to make that very clear. Okay. Well, what about those that are out there that said, I've tried it before. I didn't like it. I didn't stick with it. I don't have faith in myself that I'll do it again.
Well, and that's where I kind of go back again to the analogy of the budget being your financial diet. And having a financial diet doesn't even necessarily mean that you're looking to cut your expenses, but you're just looking at the overall health and well-being of your finances, similar to looking at the overall health and well-being of your body. So to kind of address those that say, I've tried it before and I failed, we've all done things that we've failed at. And if everybody quit everything that they failed at one time, then no one would truly get good at anything, because that failure is what you learn from. And there are several different ways that you can budget. There's lots of tips and tricks and tools that you can use. And I think a lot of times with budgeting, if you just go about it a different way, maybe get yourself in a little bit of a different headspace when you go in and try it a new way, you can expect a different result.
So here's what I'm thinking. Especially if the idea of budgeting seems overwhelming to anyone, maybe just start with just getting your financial picture, assessing your spending, see where your money's going, see what's coming in and what's going out. And when it goes out, where it's going. If nothing else, know where your money is going to at least maybe change your mind or change some decision making. If you don't want to put yourself if it sounds too intimidating or too overwhelming to put yourself in a box where X percent or X dollars have to go here, just start the baby step that we talk about with just looking at the numbers.
Absolutely. It can be a very simple equation of A minus B equals C.
Yeah.
And finding those three dollar amounts is probably a little bit easier than you expect as well. But just to kind of back everything up, start with the basics. When you're looking at what you're bringing in, you want to make sure that you're looking at your net income. So if you, say, have a salary of $80,000 a year, that's not what you're bringing home.
Right.
So you need to have an understanding of, after I have taxes withheld, after I have 401k withheld, after I pay my health insurance, all those things that are deducted from your paycheck up front, one, make sure you know what's being deducted and for what purpose. And two, make sure you know what that net payment that's going into your bank account is, because that's really your starting number. You can find what your deductions are on any of your pay stubs. So just take that as a reference tool, look at it, and know that there's certain things that are adjustable and there's by you, like your 401k, maybe potentially health insurance, any other add-ons that your employer allows you to deduct pre-tax. And then there's going to be stuff that you can't do anything about, like
FICA,
Medicare,
yeah,
things like
Social
that,
Security.
That's just automatically going to be withheld. So get your good starting number. And that's what's being deposited into your bank account every 2 weeks.
Right. It's fun to report to our credit cards that what our gross and
right.
I love gross annual income numbers. They're fantastic, but they're not what I live off of.
Right. And not a true representation of what you're bringing home. And so again, that's, you know, in setting yourself up for success with planning a budget, you know, make sure that you're being as accurate as possible with your numbers. Because if you're looking at, you know, an annual salary divided by 26 pay periods, you're already setting yourself up to be in the hole, because that's not what you're bringing home.
Right. That's a good point.
So take a look at that. And then when you get to part B of the equation, which is what's going out. So we know A, we know what's coming in. Part B, what's going out. Look at your expenses in a couple different ways. So you've got your fixed expenses,
right,
which most often align with what individuals refer to as your needs. So these are expenses like your housing, a car payment, insurance, loan payments. If you have a situation where you're paying alimony, child support, something like that, that's court ordered, or childcare expenses.
Right.
At least for the short term. Now, I know childcare can vary later, but at least for the short term, those childcare expenses are going to be fixed. Now, also in the needs category, but can also get into that gray area, variable would be things like your food. You're going to have some sort of food budget, But that's where those needs sometimes bleed into those wants, with how much am I spending on food at the grocery store versus how much am I spending on food
at a restaurant?
Eating out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or swinging through a drive-thru.
Right.
Or something like that. So you can look at things fixed and variable. And sometimes a specific category might have a component on both sides.
Yeah. Well, I think variable expenses are where a lot of frustrations lie, because I don't spend the exact same amount at the grocery store every time I go there.
Right.
Because I don't always need to replenish the same things. And I think that can be a pain point for people, where it's like, well, I think I spend about $1,000 a month on groceries, but, you know, maybe my refrigerator, the door didn't get closed and something spoiled, so I'm going to spend a little more this month to replace that. Or other circumstances, or maybe I did a little less. What do I do with this extra money? Do I factor it in for the future when maybe I have to spend a little more? So I think variable expenses can be a pain point. Do you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's where I would recommend pulling your account statements for an entire calendar year.
Okay.
I think the calendar year is a good judgment too, because at least in Indiana, now, shout out to all of our people listening from Florida and Arizona and things like that, where you don't experience winter.
Everybody loves Indiana.
But in a Midwest environment where you're experiencing all of the seasons, mm-hmm. I think a year really gives you a good representation of how your budget fluctuates when you're at home more versus when it's nice weather and you're going out more.
Right.
And things like that. So I would take 12 months and come up with an average and set that as a budget, because that's something else when you're grocery shopping. If you just look at it and say, oh, well, you know, it varies how much I spend at the grocery, then are you going to maybe look for a deal on something? Are you going to look for a brand that is a couple bucks less expensive so you can stay within your budget? So even if it's something that's going to vary, try to get a dollar amount down there for an average. And then you've got kind of your needs covered there. Something else that can vary a bit, and again, why I suggest doing an entire year of expenses, would be your utilities.
Okay.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, that spring and fall aren't as expensive as true summer and dead of winter, with heating costs, air conditioning costs, things like that. So your utilities can vary a bit, but I think taking a look at it annually, you should be able to come up with a pretty fair average.
Okay. So then that leads me to my next question, annual expenses, like HOA dues, for example.
Right.
Should I average that out throughout the 12 months and put it in my monthly budget? What does that look like?
Well, there are a couple different ways that you can go about it. And again, that's the flexibility of finding a way to budget that works for you. So along with your expenses, with fixed and variable, you need to have some type of indicator on your frequency. So some people pay their insurance premium monthly. Some people pay it semi-annually. Some people pay it annually. But you want to avoid being hit with a big unexpected expense. So go ahead and put that expense in, and then determine if it's best for you to schedule it out monthly, or are you going to redirect those funds to a specific savings account, so when that annual premium comes due, you have the money available?
Yeah, you're ready for it. Okay.
So another component to budget outside of the needs would be your wants. And that's kind of the second part of your variable expenses, where the needs start to bleed into the wants and vice versa.
Help us, Kim. Help us determine. Help me determine what I need versus what I want. Because, I mean, I want, I'll talk about fancy shoes a lot, guys. I'm just going to warn you now. But I want fancy, fun shoes. And I feel like I need them to wear to my job. See how I justify my purchase of those shoes?
Which what you actually need to wear to your job are shoes, period.
That just function as they are. Shoes.
For you, I would call that a foot covering as opposed to a shoe. So they really boil down to extras that are not essential.
Okay.
So with that, shopping becomes a huge gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, you do need shoes. But do you need shoes that cost $100? Or could you find a pair of shoes that cost half that much?
But they're not as pretty.
Accurate.
That's actually not true. I've become very good at finding cheap, delightful shoes. However, I'm just trying to get at another pain point here, which is just, you know, the ability to justify spending when you know it is not in the need category.
Well, and that's why, you know, there's a formula of the 50-30-20 rule.
Okay.
That breaks down an allocation between needs, wants, and savings at 50-30-20. So again, like we talked about earlier with budgets being restrictive, you're not going to be able to have just your needs and then everything else goes to savings. No one wants to live like that. So you have a specific allocation that you can put towards your wants. You just have to decide, are all of my wants going to be fancy shoes, or do I want to have fancy shoes and save for a vacation? Or
ooh, I like vacations
fancy
too.
Shoes and travel. So the concept of this is just to moderate yourself
okay.
in wants, not to remove them entirely, because that's not realistic.
That makes me feel better.
So you can have multiple things in the want category. You just can't have everything.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It's because I'm telling you, I can YOLO justify any purchase that I make. I'm very good at it. And my husband, God love him, is too. So what you're telling me, this 50-30-20, that's 50% needs, 30% wants, and 20% savings, as like a starting allocation for budgeting.
Right.
Great.
And that allows for you to take care of your needs, which is important. That allows you to give yourself some life enjoyment on your wants, you know, those memberships, travel, entertainment, eating out,
Fancy shoes. Shopping
outside of your necessities.
Right.
And then also helps a little bit on that planning for the future.
Okay.
In that savings bucket.
Now, what if my needs, my true needs, no fancy shoes, legitimate needs are more than 50% of my income?
Well, that's where you need to start looking at what you've put in the need bucket and see if it might apply to something else. So like those loan and credit card payments, they're actually debt reduction. So could be applied to savings.
Okay, I see that. So
savings category is that emergency fund, but also payments on your debt. And if you're having money deducted out of your paycheck for your retirement with your 401k, that falls into a savings bucket too.
Which we are going to get into 401ks and all that kind of stuff later. But okay, that paints
so
a picture.
That saving for retirement is something that should be credited to that savings bucket.
Okay, the money that's coming out of your paycheck.
Right.
Fantastic.
And if you find that your needs are over 50% of your income, and you've really been truthful and honest about what falls into that bucket, then that's also a time to take a step back and say, do I have any opportunity here to reduce some of these costs? Do I have an opportunity to reduce my housing costs? Could I refinance? Could I move to a smaller apartment? Could I move to a different area of town, maybe, that causes my rent or my home purchase cost to go down? The type of car that I drive. Have I overextended myself in that area?
Right.
So there's opportunity to cut back. It's not a hard and fast rule at the 50%, but that's a good guideline for a comfortable spot.
Is there a worksheet or anything that I can utilize to help me with this?
So, kind of getting into the practicality of this, there's two different options that you can use. Some people love the digital side of things.
Yeah, I'm a spreadsheet kind of gal myself.
There are plenty of apps. You can use spreadsheets. You can work on a spreadsheet that you then print to paper and make notes each month. Basically, it's whatever works for you and helps you keep things on track. In addition to the 50-30-20 method, there's an alternative that's very manual that works well with some people, and it's kind of referred to as cash stuffing or the envelope method.
Ah, okay. I've heard of this. Okay.
Where if you're having trouble in, like I talked about before, this cashless environment where money just goes in, goes out, and it's so quickly, and it's like you almost don't even realize it, you can kind of get back to basics on giving yourself an envelope with X amount of dollars in it.
With actual physical dollars
in it. Actual cash money.
I will say it's funny when you actually physically see those dollars leaving your grasp.
Right.
Like, for instance, why do you think they use chips? These little pretty plastic things at a casino. Because if you were shoving, you know, $10 at a time,
right,
in actual cash at a person, I guarantee you would give up
a ghost town in there.
Yeah, a lot sooner than this, like, this meaningless chip with just a number printed on it. So, okay. So for a more visual budgeter,
right,
watch yourself giving your money away.
Right. And when you're headed out to the grocery, you have your envelope. Or when you're headed out for an evening with friends, or more so, I think, if you're like me and you walk into Target and the one thing that's on your list somehow manages to not get purchased, but you walk out with a new area rug, six candles, a house plant, and an oscillating fan.
Guilty.
Then you look at your envelope and you say, I didn't get my laundry detergent. Why do I have this cart full of stuff?
But this area rug will look great under my couch.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So kind of to give you an idea of the manual versus the digital cash stuffing, a manual visual representation of budgeting, digital, like I said, there are apps that help you track spending. There are spreadsheets that you can download, all types of templates and things like that. But I would say one of the most important things once you get the initial budget set is not so much how you set it up, but what you do from that initial point, and that is to monitor what's happening. It's great if you set a budget. It's great if you have all your envelopes with cash and your spreadsheet and things like that. But if you never go back at the end of the month and check yourself and kind of see where you ended up and what might need to be readjusted or reallocated, then it's really all for naught. So find something that is going to be easy for you to monitor and user-friendly for you to monitor as well.
Well, and I'm gonna add to this a little bit just because we want to make this all sound easy when we all know that it's not easy for everyone. And you can apply this to anything, but it's hard. It's hard to feel broke all the time. It's hard to not know where your dollars are going. It's hard not knowing what your future looks like because you aren't saving or not budgeting for saving. It's also hard to be disciplined with your finances. So again, universally applicable, choose your hard, right?
Right.
Which hard do you want to live with? The disciplined budgeting or the caution to the wind, spend freely, but I have all of my favorite things type life. It's right. Choose your hard on this.
Well, and I think when you look around at the end of the month, if you've gone over budget, ask yourself, what do I have?
Yeah.
Do I have things that I'm using? Do I have things that really turned into needs? Or have I gotten delicious coffee every day for the last month and I've consumed it and now I don't have anything necessarily to show for it?
Right.
So I think you hit the nail on the head there where you're kind of choosing your heart. That's welcome to life as an adult.
Ugh, the worst.
And and also realizing when you take a step back to really sit down and evaluate your budget, know that you have some flexibility and that it's a scale.
And don't be mean to yourself either.
Right.
Like we all stumble. It's fine. And back to the dieting. If you're disciplined for 2-3 weeks, in budget's case, let's 2-3 months. And then you have a bad month, don't just throw all those other months away by just continuing on down that
path. I think that
don't be mean to yourself either. That's not allowed on this show.
The key thing is really trying to find out what you learned from it.
Yes. Diagnose.
Right.
Do a post-mortem on it.
So to say, did I learn that I may be trying to be too restrictive? Or did I learn that I might need to lower my expenses in another category? Again, housing and car is an area that you can get big bang for your buck by adjusting it, though.
Right.
You know, groceries and things like that, you may not end up with a lot of extra if you really feel like you're cutting yourself back there. But if you're happy to maybe drive a car that's not so new or something like that, you can make a really substantial dent in your expenses by just lowering one or two of those things. Or, like I said, on the other end, increasing your income. So if you are working full time and you kind of pick up a part-time gig doing something, then that just brings more money in. And maybe you can designate that additional income specifically to a vacation fund. Or fancy shoe fund, or
if I had
whatever makes you happy.
If I had more time, I would work at Kirkland's. I swear to you, I would. Just, I think I would enjoy that.
Yeah, but beautiful things in the home also.
I mean, I wouldn't make any money because I would spend it all there. But anyway, just ideas. If you are looking for us to supplement your income, maybe pick something that you might actually enjoy. Now, this is something that my husband and I, in his line of work, we experience. Adjusting for irregular income, what does that look like? Because my husband's a realtor and a certified residential appraiser. And so he works for himself. He's not getting a static paycheck on a set schedule. So how do people out there that have that same kind of circumstance adjust for that?
Well, I think that's in addition to looking at things on an annual basis. Go back, and if you're somebody who has things that fluctuate through seasons, maybe, you know, somebody who does landscaping and then they do snow removal in the winter or something like that, they're going to have fluctuations through the season.
Right.
commission-based, all those types of things. Take a look at your annual income and then divide that by 12. Kind of look at that as your average. And when you have months where you have extra, you're going to have to be disciplined to save.
Set it aside because for those drier months.
Yes, because you know that those months are coming.
Yeah, we call the months that money's flowing in the getting time.
when the getting's good.
The getting time. And we have to set some of that aside where we know it dries up a little bit. So yeah, good points there.
So kind of just to wrap up on this topic, the thing that's really important when setting a budget is, one, you want to be accurate with your information. Like I said, that very simple equation of A minus B equals C. Make sure your A is accurate. Make sure that your budget is realistic, that you've categorized things in the proper area, and be flexible. Know that as you're monitoring that month by month, you're most likely going to have to go in and reassess at least a couple times a year. And don't beat yourself up over the bad stuff. Take the small wins, use them as learning opportunities as to where you may need to adjust. And most importantly, just try to stick with it, because any progress that you make on a budget is going to be good progress. So you don't want to throw all the months that you fell short out, or all the months that you did well out, because of one that you fell short or went outside your budget.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so funny how much budgeting is like dieting, right?
It is, it really.
All the concepts.
It's your financial diet.
So don't expect yourself to budget for 1 month and like see this huge swing in your finances.
Right.
This is something that will build slowly over time. You gotta give it time. You can diet all you want for 1 month. I guarantee you, you're not gonna achieve your long-term goal.
Right. And your diet is not ruined by going off kilter for a month either. So,
right.
Not built or destroyed in a single month. So,
exactly. But give it time. Give it time to see the results.
Yes.
By all means.
So, we hope this budgeting workshop has been helpful. We'll be posting some tools and templates on our website under the Financial Strides podcast header to help you if you'd like to do some work on your own.
And send in any questions you have too.
That does it for this episode of Financial Strides. Please check out our website at woodleyfarah.com for more information, resources, and episodes.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us and leave a comment. We love your feedback.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Financial Strides.